time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. You know, crystal clear in your ear. Another week in the books. 2024. Ooh-wee. Hell of a year. Hell of a year, man. Yeah, it's a lot going on, man.
A whole lot going on, man. A
lot going on. Yeah, man. But in the midst of all of this, how you been, man? What's good with you?
Man, I've been good. Shit. actually, felt like, you know what I'm saying, not a breakthrough, but just I could feel a sense of an antidote to some of the what's going on inside of my brain. So this particular weekend, you know what I'm saying, I haven't shot my camera in about, shit, down to 3 years, like actually physically shooting. So a client of mine called, the people called and was like, can you shoot this 50th birthday party for the big homie? You know what I'm saying? But she's a big chief. It's a woman, CEO lady. And so.
Okay.
And so.
Big chief.
Yeah, she's a big chief, a big deal. And so, mm-hmm. They don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? And they don't, you know what I'm saying? It's like. Almost like in poor taste to be like, well, you know, I don't shoot anymore. You know what I'm saying? That ain't. I learned a lesson, not about that, but in that same vein when I was young, like, you know what I'm saying, young, just feral kid hanging around the neighborhood. And my homeboy, you know what I'm saying, mom, Miss Jeanette, she could always tell a nigga probably was hungry. As a grown folks, you know what I'm saying, I could understand it now, but as a kid, you'd be like, man, how did she knew I was hungry? And then she'd be like, you hungry? And then you'd be like, well, I don't eat pork. Well, I ain't asked you, did you eat pork? I asked, was you hungry? You know what I'm saying?
I asked, was you in need? Right. Feral ass nigga. You know what I mean?
So she just pull you together and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just listen to what I asked you, dog. You know what I'm saying? Be sticking to your little script. So, you know. So I ain't want to be like, you know, I don't shoot no more. I was just like, you know, what y'all talking? And then, you know, she told me what it was, a weekend in Nashville, you know what I'm saying, 3 events. And, you know, I really was like, I wanted to try, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to see if I could, you know, stand up and do some shit like that. Now, I recruited a bunch of help. So if I couldn't, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't be at a loss. So we went down there last weekend, and that shit was dope. You know what I'm saying? Because the beautiful thing about, you know, when you shoot these kind of events, you know what I'm saying? When you shoot, especially people who've made it to a certain place in their corporate work or their work, sometimes you get people who surround themselves and do these big events for people they work with and the people that they came up, like, in the business with. And then, you know, it's just a few, you know, few family, you know what I'm saying, just the ones that made it with them. And then sometimes you get people who didn't make real friends in the business side that get to a certain place and then they just surround themselves with all their old people and none of the new people. And then you get people like her who it's everybody, you know what I'm saying? It's people from elementary to college to, you know what I'm saying, to your first jobs and all the way through, you know what I'm saying? So this particular person, her shit is always everybody, and it's always, you could tell that she uses this space to be herself, you know what I'm saying? And separate from, you know, what you got to do when you got to get up and go to work and do your corporate thing. This is like a safe space for that she's created for herself. And then I could appreciate that. And it makes the art better for me because you got a palette of a lot of colors, you know what I'm saying, from different places that you could play with. And so we went and did that, man. That was cool.
It looked cool. I saw a couple photos of it. It looked like an award ceremony. way it was set up. Yeah.
No, it was 3 days of shit. So we had a gala the first night, which was, you know, fancy. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I shoot this stuff, I was just telling the team that, you know, when you come to galas especially, people tend to be in their gala mode. You know what I'm saying? I'm fancy. I got on the, you know, I got on a tux or you know, a gown, and I'm here to, like you said, look at an award show or something. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to eat and you know, chitter chatter. You know what I mean? But obviously, the host wanted everybody to have a great time, like, let's party, you know what I'm saying, as well. And so what I was telling the team is, like, when you're in these types of spaces, that's the default, and you don't want to just shoot the default. You know, you could cover an event and just be like, okay, this is what happened. But what you want to do, and, you know, my wife checked me, but, you know what I'm saying, I like to say, shit, you got to wait till the nigga pop out and shoot that.
I like your wife was like PR, like, whoa, Mr. Muhammad, I don't think that is that's colorful right. Language. Is, yeah, that's that. Let's strike that. Could we strike that from the record, please? Yeah, thank you.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is you got to wait for people to let themselves be free and shoot it. You know what I'm saying? When they do. Because they're gonna revert right back to pulled together smooth, you know what I'm saying? But
right.
When you turn this over, we're not shooting this for a record of what happened, you know what I'm saying? Proof of concept type shit. That's not what mm-hmm. we're doing. What we're doing is we want to portray the best of the whole shit within it, you know what I'm saying? To where mm-hmm. you're not giving them, I don't care about how many people like that shit when we first turn it in, you know what I'm saying? And we give it in, and then, you know what I'm saying, they send it out to the people who came, and they be like, oh, that's nice, you know what I'm saying? You shoot this shit for 10 years from now, you know what I'm saying? 20 years from now, when the kids, you know what I'm saying, are burying their parents, and they looking back at this shit, it's a historical content, you know what I'm saying? That's how you look at, you don't care if you shooting somebody down the street or somebody big time, you know what I'm saying? Because if somebody thought enough for themselves to put something like this together, you know what I'm saying? They wanna remember it, you know what I'm saying? And you wanna show the best side of it as possible the whole time. Because even if the shit is flat right here, we never showing nothing flat, you know what I'm saying? We not shooting a big wide shot of the room and just, oh, it was a great time. Nah,
right.
We doing that, we shooting middle shots, we shooting the outfits, we shooting the decorations, details, we shooting, you know what I'm saying? If a motherfucker printed a card with a quote on it and put it at the bar and that shit only 6 inches long, you need to find that shit and put that shit, you know what I'm saying, memorialize that shit. And that's how I think about it. And in the end, you want to come away with a piece of art that memorializes the person's birthday and the occasion and the effort that went into putting that shit together. You know what I'm saying? The looks. You know what I'm saying? Like, the camera don't lie. That's the part, like, for some people, and it's like, you know, people you like, they deserve to get this shit done by me, you know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't have nobody else do it for me because I know I want to put all of the right shit in there to complete the whole shit. And that's how I thought about it when they called. I'm like, well, you know what? This is my first time trying this shit since I've been up. I'm going to try. You know what I'm saying? So we went, the gala happened, and it was a 90s party, and then it was a gospel brunch, like, you know what I'm saying? I probably ain't even been to no gospel brunch like this one because they were jamming the real gospel music, but they was playing, like, the jams, you know what I'm saying? And they had a singer that she had in the band. She had everybody in that bitch crying. So this type of shit, you want the details, you know what I'm saying? You want to show, right. You want to show them tears, you want to show them holding hands and hugging, and you know what I'm saying? You don't want to show that shit from a wide view, you know what I mean? You want it to feel like you right there, and
the soul of it.
Yeah, and that's the part that I like to capture on my own. Like, I got the team, they was doing their thing, they got some of that stuff too, But I didn't know if I did it, it was going to be there. So luckily, you know what I'm saying, what happened with my brain stuff is usually you feel this certain sensation all the time. You know what I'm saying? Then it started letting you know when you're doing too much. But when I was inside of the middle of the events, surrounded by the people and engaged in the event, I didn't feel any of that shit. It's like that shit just went away. It was like I'm right in a spot where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? And it disappeared. You know what I'm saying? And that was weird. It was like a nigga took some medicine or some shit that just made it go away for a while. But it was no medicine. It was holistic. Holistically, like, nigga, I do the damn job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's part of your wiring still. And, you know?
And that's the crazy part is when you say part of your wiring, you're probably right. Because when I first came home from rehab, the first thing I went to was Revolt World. You know what I'm saying? Which is a big event. And I hadn't been outside like at all. But the first thing I go to is like this big thing and you navigate between all these people. But something internally was like, I felt comfortable. I felt more comfortable in that space than walking in an office and, you know what I'm saying, one person hit the corner and just throw you all the way off. You know what I'm saying? So I probably talked about this when I did Revolt World, but it goes back to even as a kid, I'm the kid that had to go with my uncle because I had no kids around my age and he was the closest one. He was 5 years up. And my grandma was like, well, you can't go nowhere unless you're taking him. So I'm at all the big shit as a kid and you just learn how to be within that space. And, you know, from that, all the big events was my thing. I, you know, 500 people event, I was like, eh. But if I had to do Vibe Live or if I had to do Yard Fest or some shit like that, it was always comfortable to do shit like that. And I guess it is where I'm supposed to be. I don't know.
Right.
But
now, being where you're supposed to be and feeling the certain inhibition, I don't know if that's the word, but just feeling like certain things just fade away in that moment and kind of right back to what's natural.
Mm-hmm.
What was different about, you know, you said it's been 3 years since you picked up a camera.
Mm-hmm.
What was different about the experience? Did you tweak your approach in any way? Yeah, any
absolutely
of that?
Nothing was different.
Wow.
It clicked right back, you know what I'm saying? It was
just
how I remember it, you know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is when you're in that space, you don't have to think. It's not your job to think. Your job is to observe and to capture the shit that you feel is important within your observation. You know what I'm saying? So I'm, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times I approach it like you kind of know genetic, you know when the hype parts are gonna come, right? You following the runner show, you know, okay, we could just capture this part. If you got this singer on stage, you know what I'm saying? Okay, all you gotta do is just shoot that. But the trick is capturing the people that are into it and that you're gonna show along with that performer to show that it was a great time. So now you just instinctively trying to feel who is the people that's gonna do that for you. And a lot of times you can see that shit walking in the door. You know what I'm saying? You see them you see everybody walk in. Some people come in with more gusto. Some people come in with more light. You know what I'm saying? Some people are already smiling when they walked in the door. You know what I mean? They got the whole bar laughing, shit like that. You looking for those kind of people. Cause it's usually, you know what I'm saying? You take three people like that, and that's when you got a live event. You know what I'm saying? Because what that person gonna do, that person is gonna smile their way in, they gonna chit-chat everybody when it's time to jam, when they trying to get on the floor, they gonna be on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Don't let them know how to dance. then everybody gonna come in around them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So by the time you shot them at 7 o'clock coming in the door, and you're like, okay, you identified that person, that's the one. You know what I'm saying? By the time it's time to get on the floor, you looking around to see what the one gonna do. Or the two. Mm-hmm. And then here they go. You follow their ass to the floor, and usually they're gonna be one of the first ones. And then people gonna crowd in around them, but you already in position on them. And then what you really waiting for, you let them do their thing, you shooting everybody around. But what you really waiting on is the DJ to play that one song. You know what I'm saying? It's always one song that the whole shit go crazy for.
That nigga come out.
And then a nigga jumps out. And then
that's one nigga, thing I know.
Then a nigga like me, I'ma put that shit on 120 frames per second, slow motion, super slow mo.
Right.
And
right.
I'ma be in the middle of the floor. And I'm going to shoot as many. I'm shooting pigs in a barrel, man. You know what I'm saying? Or like shooting frogs in a barrel. Because everybody hype. And you just getting all this hype shit. And then when you get down to edit, you take all that hype shit in super slow-mo. And that's going to be the cornerstone of your hype part. You know what I'm saying? And then right. you could take all the other parts from number one, when they was smiling at the bar. Number two, when they was doing what they doing, hugging and kissing everybody. And then once you smash it together with everybody, with the nigga hanging out, shit, that shit was a jam.
The nigga arc.
That's crazy.
Yo, that shit is crazy. Yo, that sounds like a MAGA podcast. That's one thing I know about blacks now. You stay around them long enough, woo-wee, that nigga gonna come out. And I'm gonna be right there to trap it. I'm gonna trap it. I seen it when it walked in the door. I said, there's some nigga in there. Nah, I get it. I get it, man. I understand what you're saying.
That's the beauty of safe spaces. That's the beauty of,
right,
of our own community. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's
right.
The beauty of being within us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's why it's not safe for everybody to shoot your shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, true indeed. Yeah. True indeed. That ain't for everyone.
Nah, it ain't for everybody, man. You don't want everybody to see that shit.
Yeah. But everybody don't speak the language.
Nah, that shit's safe with me, though.
Right. That's funny. Did you get any time to really kick it at all in Nashville?
Nah, because I was trying to rest. Okay. I played myself on that part. I think I'm going to go back, though, because I like... They had the main shits on Saturday and Sunday at the Uncle Nearest distillery.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's black owned.
I didn't know that was in Nashville.
Yeah, it's right outside of Nashville. I think it's Shelbyville or something like that. I forget the name of it, but it's like about 45 minutes outside of Nashville. And it's beautiful. You know what I'm saying? It's black owned. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The couple who owned the joint, they was there. And it kind of made me proud. Not even kind of. It made me proud. I was like, you know what I'm saying? You don't really just get to a place and be like, damn. Shit, y'all did this. But they really got an operation going, you know what I'm saying? And it's pretty impressive. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope. Yeah. So it is impressive, yeah. It's the whole story.
So it's like, you know, it just felt good to be there, you know what I'm saying? I don't forget what you just asked me, but I just thought about that.
I was asking you, did you see much of Nashville? You said no.
Oh, nah, because, like, again, we had the second 2 days we were out. The first day, I was just around the Gulch. And then Saturday morning, I didn't have a whole lot of time, but I wanted to get breakfast. So, I ended up eating at the hotel restaurant and getting played. I'm talking about... I'm on the menu. It's Nashville. I was like, you had chicken and waffles on the menu. I'm like, shit, give me some chicken and waffles then. At least, you know what I'm saying, the corporate version.
Yeah. Right.
Nigga, this shit was beyond corporate version. That shit was straight up hotel frozen food section or some shit.
Tyson's.
Yeah, it was like a Tyson's, nigga. You know what I'm saying? It was... When it came, they had the waffle, and then they had this chicken, like a chicken cutlet. You know what I'm saying? On top of it. And it was theoretically fried, but it felt like it was just battered. And you know what I'm saying? It toasted in some in a toaster oven or some shit. With the Nashville flavorings on it. Be like, man, oh, man, this ain't.
The okie doke.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, no, I didn't get to really experience. I think I might double back, though, in June.
Yeah.
Because my man hit me. He said, Def Jam, they done doing like a 40th Def Jam anniversary in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
So, I might double back for that. And then really get to see some shit.
That's interesting. 40 years of Def Jam in Nashville.
Well, Nashville is a big-ass music city.
I know, but I don't think Def Jam, when I think about it, I think of the Grand Ole Opry. I know there's a lot of black music down there. But when I think of 40 years of Def Jam, I don't think of Nashville. But
no, I don't think it's for the city, per se. I think it's a music thing. So...
okay.
Possibly
like a stop.
Possibly a flyaway situation, just like this. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's not from Nashville. They did it probably because the Uncle Nearest was there and that was going to host them. You know what I'm saying? So it was a flyaway to Nashville. But when you think of Def Jam now, you know what I'm saying? That shit ain't the Def Jam of, you know what I'm saying? Old Russell Simmons era. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, Russ.
Yeah.
Puff and Russ. Y'all just fucking up the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah. Legacies fucking fumbled. If you do go back, go to Price's. Mm-hmm. Get you some hot chicken from Price's before anywhere. For all them other spots, Price's is the spot.
That's the black
shit. Is good as hell. That's the black one. Right. Yeah. That's the hot chicken. Mm-hmm. And I don't even call it Nashville hot chicken anymore because I've heard that while calling it Nashville hot chicken, it's the erasure of Price's, you know, because hot chicken was very much like a community thing, you know, a black thing. And then they got appropriated. Mm-hmm. And rather than give that man his credit or that family his credit, because it's definitely a, you know, it started in the household over some beef, you know, but instead of telling the full origin story, they just kind of broadened it to be like, oh, yeah, it's a regional thing.
Right.
And it really ain't. I mean,
they ended up letting some of the white people come in and they nigga fell out and they ain't know how to take that. I'm like, wait a minute. This is a gold mine here.
Yeah, what's going on? Who's monetizing this? The monetization.
It happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's the American way. We can't make no money off of that. That shit ain't American.
European way, nigga.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's true. We taking it. We zooming out. You know what I mean? I
guess we're zooming out. They start right here in Virginia, nigga.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah, we got to see where the wave began. It was right over there in that seat. Oh, shit. Shout out to Nashville, though. That's dope, man.
It's like a jumping little town, you know what I'm saying? Especially if I was like white in the country, nigga. Nashville is jumping.
Let me ask you this. Did you hear any of the Beyonce records reverberating out there?
Nah. Okay. It was Lily. It was Lily. Where I was at was Lily, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It was very little, you know what I mean? I didn't
Reba
get
McEntire.
Yeah, I didn't get deep enough to see any, you know what I'm saying, any additional, you know what I'm saying, breakout points. Not to say they're not there, because then I would be tripping, but I know TSU breakout, Fisk is there, but you know, I ain't get to see none of that.
Okay. What was the record? What was the record that was the catalyst to bring about what you wanted to see?
Okay, in at the gala, there were two moments, you know what I'm saying? Of course, the Big Chief is from Texas, so the Beyonce shit, the country song, but the other Beyonce shit, you know what I'm saying, took off, you know what I'm saying?
Which one is that? What you mean? Not Texas Hold'em?
Nah, from the last album, from the Renaissance album, one of them joints.
Oh, okay, one of them joints.
Yeah. So, you know, they, of course, she went crazy on that. But really, the highlight was Wyclef, that's one of her peoples, he was there. And that nigga was just in the crowd, just grabbed the mic and rocked that bitch for about 30, 40 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And you know, when they played that ooh la la la, nigga, that shit was going crazy. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Wyclef, go ahead.
Wyclef is an entertainer, man. He know how to.
He's the Haitian Dougie Fresh.
Yeah,
if Dougie Fresh ain't Haitian, you know what I mean. But I mean,
Dougie
like,
Fresh ain't Haitian.
You never know. That's what I'm saying. You never know. But I know we know Wyclef Haitian, and we know he's a one man show. Like he could do all of that shit. He could do the I'm a rap in different languages and all of this other thing. I might just play the guitar on your ass. Yeah, it's when I hear him doing 30 to 40 minutes just impromptu, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it was easy. It was easy.
Yeah.
It was laid back. It was like, you know how when your mama call you up, come on up here and do a little something for the people. You know what I'm saying?
Built for it.
It was just that easy. You know what I'm saying? Nigga just stepped up and rocked that bitch. And then speaking of Dougie Fresh, you know what I'm saying? Shit, the 90s party, the show. They played all that other shit, but the show had that bitch rock. So that's why I got what I needed off the show. Yeah. They played other songs, but that was the one. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And then at the gospel joint, shit, the goddamn, I can't say the goddamn to the damn song.
That is not how you want to introduce
the
people of the faith.
I take it all back, man.
Oh, man.
But that awesome God, had it rocking.
I think I know what you're talking about. God, I think I got to hear
it. Awesome God, he reigns from heaven above and beyond. You know what I'm saying? But see, it sounded like the niggas was playing the goddamn gospel soundtrack at one point, but in the movie, The Gospel, I co-produced 13 of them gospel joints for the movie. You see what I'm saying? But on the album, it was the original songs. You know what I'm saying? But for the gospel, which is, you know what I'm saying, was Will Packer, Rob Hardy. It was probably their third movie, fifth movie. I might be wrong. It might be a little older than that. Probably like sixth or seventh movie. But anyway, they were still independent. This was like the first time the studio was kind of excited about fucking with it. And we got Kirk Franklin to do the music, like to produce the music. And Kirk ended up, you know what I'm saying, he delivered all the instrumentals, and then something happened where he couldn't finish the songs. You know what I'm saying? So now, I'm the music supervisor. I gotta finish the songs. So, pulled the choirs together, and we finished the songs. You know what I'm saying? But then that's when I discovered how limited I was as a music person. You know what I'm saying? Because one of the singers that was singing for the movie, she couldn't hit certain notes. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't know no better. I thought, you know what I'm saying, damn, listen to it. That's what you got to do is sing what they sing. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, man, I don't understand what you talking about. That's the note. I'm like, nah, that ain't, play it back. Played it. Then she, all right, you sing it. Then she sang it. Be like, oh, nah, that ain't it. And so what I realized was that I was illiterate when it came to real music, how to fucking speak in music speak. I know what to do, but I don't know how to the language. So I had to call in, I can't even remember the nigga name. I'm so mad I can't remember his name, but he a choir dude. He big too now. So I called around, and then I found a guy who directs choirs. And he came in, and when I seen him tell her what to do, I was like, damn, nigga, I'm ill-equipped to be telling the real singer what the fuck to do. he came
like,
in.
A minor.
Yeah, he was like, A minor, the F sharp. I think this shit was an F. Right. I knew it was an F.
Yeah.
He was like, no, that's in the key of F. I'm like, God damn, that's all I had to say?
Right. You gotta know that language, yeah.
You gotta know the language, you know what I'm saying? And I was ill equipped. But anyway, I know all them songs from that, you know what I'm saying? But that Awesome God, we rocked that bitch on the movie. You know what I'm saying? That's like, that was like one of my favorite ones. And
right.
They had that bitch jamming in there. And then Leandra Johnson, gospel singer, she was the performer. So she killed that shit. She killed that shit.
Shout out to Leandra Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, gospel's like reggae in a way. In a way like, you know, like the hits kind of become standards. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then other people could do their own rendition of it, and that could be the one. Mm-hmm. Until somebody else does a rendition, like some of these standards, you go and look like Going Up to Yonder. Mm-hmm. Then Going Up Yonder. Like there's, I want to say, Walter Hawkins. You know, it might be Walter Hawkins Jr. I'm just pulling this out of the thin air. I could be off. I want to say he might be the OG, but then I don't know. You know, and there's mm-hmm. so many people that do like Eye on the Sparrow. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, all of that. You know, yeah. It just becomes like who's killed it most recently, you know? So I'm going to listen to that Awesome God record because I definitely know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, Awesome God, I think Kirk Franklin is Awesome God. And then Leandra Johnson did her song Deliver Me. That shit
okay.
brought it. I mean, everybody in that bitch was
crying. Tore the house down. People
was
crying.
It was, you know what I'm saying? The Lord was there. Yeah. He showed up. That's when the niggas had to get tucked. And the Lord showed up.
Right. That's different. Yeah, make sure you get this too. Yeah.
They have been delivered, nigga.
Oh, man. It's like that media that just came over to, who was that? Oh, Spain. You know what I'm talking about? You see that footage of that media?
It was
like a meteor.
Oh, yeah. Media. Oh, yeah. I saw that. I didn't know if that was real or some other
I don't know if it was real or not. I'm trying to, you know, it's the internet, so it could be fake. It could be amazing AI. But it looked fly. If it was real, it could have been fake because I seen this one girl's video. She just, like, timed it perfectly. She had her camera, you know, positioned to where she like looked over as the media was coming, and she didn't seem that overwhelmed with awe. Mm-hmm. She, you know, it was a little too theatrical. So now I'm kind of looking at it sideways. But the first footage I saw about it, where it was just kind of going over a highway, and it's that one moment where it like flares. And like it goes from darkness to daytime, kind of like what I was talking about with the eclipse. Mm-hmm. That was bananas. That was fly. But yeah, man. Speaking of Kirk Franklin, there's a clip that was floating around on Twitter of Kirk Franklin. I want to say he was singing Purple Rain or some type of Prince record. Mm-hmm. And it's just wild to hear him singing like, you know, like a secular music, and he was killing it. Or was it Prince doing Stomp? Might have been one or the other. I forget. But either way, it was like two totally, I don't say totally, but two sides of a coin, you know what I mean? Like recognizing the artistry of it all. It was kind of fly. Anyway, so that's what's up. So Nashville.
So Nashville was dope, you know what I'm saying? It was a milestone for me. It, you know, pointed out how you could. It's almost like people be like self heal and shit like that, like holistic healing. It's like that's how I felt. You know what I'm saying? It didn't last forever. I mean, of course, I still feel it now. But like, how do you keep yourself in environments to where you could fucking heal yourself? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you see, you starting to identify what kind of makes certain things fade away. Mm-hmm. You know, so that I mean, I guess that's part of it. You know how to chart the course. You know what I mean? Like that's one of your, I don't want to call it a trigger, but you know how some people like to be by large bodies of water, and then they feel a certain type of way. It's like restorative. Mm-hmm. You like to be in the, you know what I mean? Yeah, in the midst of action. Shit.
And I like to be around water too, so I need to take my ass to Miami.
yeah, 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 Do that.
Like, you reminded me as soon as you said that shit. Like, that's it right there.
Yeah.
You need to go to Miami. Dade County at 305.
Right. It's all there for you. You just got to figure it out. Just got to, you know, set your coordinates. That's what it is. It's sometimes it's so like, I don't want to say it's apparent, but when it happens, if you just pay attention just a little bit, you're like, oh, okay. Note taken. You know, like that was something from the universe. That was God saying, yo, pay attention. This is your, you know what I'm saying? I see the nigga jump out. You know what I mean? This is you. I'll tell you one thing.
There you go.
I made him. Yeah, man. I know when it's going to jump out.
Shout out to my people, man. Shout out. Mama used to be like, shit, I know niggas. I used to be one.
I used to be one. I'm retired, but I definitely know the uniform.
Yeah, you talk about a fancy motherfucker, but they cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Shit. Oh, man. That's so funny. Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah, my grandmother used to say something like that. Say, you know what I mean? You want to know if it's a nigga or not? Feed them a little something. Just see how they act after a little bit. Some shit like that. Like, I guess if that itis hit, it's like, yeah, there we go. We got him. You know what I'm saying? There it is. Can't run from that. That's dope, though, man. Congratulations, man. I'm glad to hear that. You know, it felt like a reawakening of sorts. So that's dope. Mm-hmm. That's dope. Yeah, man.
So what's good with you?
What I doing? Man, I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. I was here. I was local. I kept it local. I was a couple things going on. I mean, this weekend, I don't even know what I did Saturday. But I know Sunday, I went down to this little bazaar that they have on over on the Upper West Side, like right around the corner from the old Stand Up New York. Mm-hmm. And they had it was supposed to be like an art fair where it was a bunch of artists and things of that nature with like, you know, stuff to they selling, like vending, you know, but like art pieces and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, but it was just a little bit. It was just an excuse to get people to come to the same old vendor spot that's been there for years and years and years. It was cool. Wasn't anything that blew me away. The best part about the whole thing is I got me some free sunglasses from one of these people that was out there trying to facilitate clean energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Actually, I'm going to shout them out. Green Mountain Energy. It's like one of these, I guess their initiative is basically, you know, it's one of those places where they got the little iPad and they want you to, you know, they'll give you all that stuff as long as you give them your data. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I didn't do that. I was like a white woman touching black hair. Like I had already had the sunglasses before. You know what I mean? Before they could leverage my data. I just seen them. I liked them. They was fly. They was like a cool blue. Looks like, it looked like a racer blue. Mm-hmm. Or like, if you remember the Faber pens. I mean, that might be a mm-hmm. weird reference, but like a matte royal blue. Shit looked fire. And then the girl, she was a black girl. I kind of wanted to help her out. And I was going, you know, I was going to help her out by giving a fake name and all of that just so she could, you know, satisfy her quota. But then they was like, yeah, if you could go to your Con Ed and give us your account number. I was like, nah, I ain't doing that. I don't, you know, I'm not just putting my account number in these streets like that for these little cheapsy-ass sunglasses. But I do realize I'll rock with some promo sunglasses. I'm not the biggest sunglass cat, but it's that season. And I will rock with some promo sunglasses proudly. I'm not going to try to erase the little Green Mountain Energy signage on the side of that shit. Nah. If you catch me out there in these streets, just understand I got these gratis. That's the name brand of these. These is not Persol. These are not Ray-Ban. No. These are gratis. But I got me some gratis glasses. But since I was downtown, in that area and had such an amazing parking spot. My parking spot was right across the street from the Museum of Natural History. Beautiful situation. Parking was amazing right there. I realized, oh, yo, I seen, you know, on Instagram that they had just started that ice cold exhibit, that exhibition, mm-hmm. that exhibit, the ice mm-hmm. cold, which is about jewelry and hip hop. And I got the book. I forget. It's on my bookshelf. I forget who the woman is that curated and compiled it. I'm going to look it up as I talk to you. I don't know, Vicky Toback, maybe. But anyway.
Where's the exhibit at?
It's at the Museum of Natural History.
Which oh, I is thought this, pretty. I thought that shit was like some standalone shit. I didn't know that shit was incorporated into the system.
It's in the system. It's in the system. Yeah, which is surprising. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Nadine, you know, our listener, one of our good listeners, one of our good correspondents. She brought up the point that maybe that Jay-Z Brooklyn Library mm-hmm. exhibit kind of shook up the game amongst the, you know, the elite museums mm-hmm. and things of that nature, to where they like, there seems to be some traffic in this. Mm-hmm. So I went to, I was like, yo, let me go see this. I'm right here. Let me go see this real fast before I go uptown. And I hit a good suggested donation. you know what I mean? Suggested what I felt like donating. And I went straight through to the little spot. And I will say this, it's a little tucked away. It's a little tucked away. They're not really front and center with it. You know what I'm saying? They're not, you know, it's tucked away. That's a big ass museum. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds me of like being a kid and being on a field trip. And, you know, I had to go see the big blue whale before I left and all of that. And you know, little things. But as I've gotten older.
The big blue whale, but the little things.
yeah, you know, what you mean? What you talking about? Oh, what you talking
big,
about?
You know, the whale is big as fuck. But then you like the little things.
The little shit, yeah. No, but that whale is ridiculous. But, like, it's a little cheesy. Like, you see some of the, you know, some of the things that they've created. Like, their models of elephants and their models of, like, they do this big ass, they kind of, like, magnify what's below the surface with like earthworms, and it's like humongous, but then when you look at it, it just kind of looks a little dated in the fabrication. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not AI. It's a little bit more crude.
That little 92 exhibit.
Yeah, exactly. That shit was blowing minds in 92. 92, what? That was crazy back when synthesizers was still cutting edge technology. So then I go into the gems and minerals section of the museum, and it's kind of tucked away. There's a line though. That's mm-hmm. one thing about hip hop. We gonna show up. So there's a little line to get in there. It's like trying to get in the club, you know. It ain't the biggest little area, but it's a line, and they letting people in, and it's a little cramped, but they got a pretty decent collection. I would have liked the space to be a little bigger, maybe even lit a little better. But overall, they had all types of stuff. They had, like, Slick Rick stuff in there. They had Biggie's Jesus Piece and his Cuban. They had a Rockefeller chain. They had a Dipset chain. They had some, you know, they had a De La Soul. I don't know if it was an Africa medallion, but like one of them leather medallions, mm-hmm. You know, just to kind of show the spectrum of it all, mm-hmm. you know, Kay Slay's medallion. And what it reminded me of, I might be by myself on this, I'm not the biggest fan of jewelry like that. Mm. Like, I like a nice gold chain. I like a nice gold chain. A nice gold chain is fly. But, like, when I'm looking at some of these, and I've only seen, like, certain pieces, like, jewelry pieces, like, big medallions and shit like that with diamonds encrusted and all of that shit. I've only really seen some of the more famous shit up close Rarely, not all it. But when I look at it, you realize that it's just metal soldered together. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people do it better than others, but sometimes you can see the little solder points mm-hmm. and then, like, the little pieces of diamond, they don't look as impressive as you would think they are. Like, they when you see them from a distance and they glow, they shining and shimmering, it looks fly. But when you really get up on it and you see how it's all, some pieces are way better than others. That's mm-hmm. one thing you realize. You realize the difference. It's like plastic surgery. You realize the difference between good work and So
and you know,
go ahead.
You naming some of these people. This was the 80s and 90s. You know what I'm saying?
Again, right.
It's the same technology as them earthworms.
Yes, exactly. Some of these shits was in a, they would have killed in a museum back in the day, but now it's looking funny in the light, as Ghostface would say. Ghostface's eagle was in there. As a matter of fact, I tell you, so shit that held up, that I liked, I don't say held up that because they all held up, but shit that I thought was fire still. The Dipset, the Diplomat's medallion, that shit looked good in real
life.
That
was 2000s now. Go ahead.
Yeah. They had the, I like the Nas QB chain, and it's not the QB joint with the 59th Street Bridge, just the other one with just QB, but it was kind of, that was fly. I like the novelty of the Tyler, the Creator with the bellhop. It was cool. I tell you, I seen the Terror Squad, the TS chain, but with like a camo diamonds. It was cool. I seen this Drake chain that was like, it was like a raptor. And I don't know what else, but it was like a raptor on the CN Tower. I think that's what they call it, the CN Tower. You know, the big tower out in Toronto. I didn't know exactly who it was at first, and it's so obvious when you know, when you figure it out, you look at it, it's like, oh, right, it's Drake. But I tell you, bro, that Kendrick beef really smashed his intellectual property out there. Like, everything is looking different. Like,
he devalued
everything. You're like, what
the technology look like on that motherfucker, though? That's recent shit.
It looked all right. It just looked a little much. Like, when you get so many of them little colored diamonds, to me, it cheapens the joint. Right. I don't need to see strawberry fucking red diamonds. It sound fly in a Young Dro song, but when you see it up close, it looked like some shit that you got from one, like a Claire's or something. But anyway, I want the people to talk to me if they go. Let me know what you think. I tell you though, who had a fire piece though, fucking Dolph's PRE chain is all gold. I guess it was like gold down brown diamonds or whatever. But the way that shit was designed, that shit was fire. That was a good one. That was one of my favorites. That one was, it was good work. And then again, like, there was a lot of other shit that was kind of like, I'll tell you another thing too. I guess, yo, when ASAP Ferg has something to prove, ASAP Ferg got a lot of shit in there. He got a lot. He got the most pieces in there. Like, he got all types of shit. Like, he was like, hold on, what you need? I bet. I'm coming down. We got enough. No. I got another. I'm coming down again. You know, so that was that. I ain't see too much Jay-Z shit. I saw a Rockefeller chain. It was fire. I saw a Rockefeller chain. I think I saw one of his Audemars. I saw some Migos stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there. Khaled. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there. It's definitely worth checking out. Definitely worth checking out. Y'all can go check it out. Suggest whatever you want to donate, you know, and then go see the culture. See the culture and let me know what you think.
It's fun. Two things. You know, Drake with the Toronto and the colors, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think Pharrell was the first one to start going crazy with different colors in his designs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then Drake ended up buying his collection at one time. So he could be inspired by that, you know what I'm saying? Trying to put more detail in it, you know, when niggas, you know, you got money.
For
and
sure.
Shit, you know what I mean? Trying to do the most.
Pharrell's bape, Belt Buckle was in there too, which is basically, I think, where
Wayne.
What was that? Oh, yeah, the whole Wayne and, you know, yeah, Pharrell kind of clips beef kind of kicked off from.
That was an interesting moment when Wayne wore the bait belt on Vibe.
On Vibe. And then, well, Wayne was a did they both have bait belts, or did Wayne have the belt buckle?
I don't know. I just knew Pharrell now was kind of in business with the bait now.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I thought it was, you know, all good. I don't know where the beef started from, but I just remember Wayne wearing bait belt on the cover of Vibe, and, you know what I'm saying, there were some employees. It was one employee in particular, white lady, that was super offended. And I'm trying to figure out, like, why is she so offended? What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
She thought it said rape.
Right.
And she was just ready to quit, nigga. She was going off.
It was like, whoa, take it easy.
I'm like, that says Bape. That's a brand.
Right.
Not.
Yeah. Right.
But it just, you know what I'm saying? She almost let that, you know what I'm talking about? that appellation jump out, you know what I'm talking about?
Hilarious.
Hey, boy, she was close to that hard R, boy.
Oh, shit. Damn, man. So the chain is actually the CN Tower with a raptor and a blue jay holding a bat, climbing. It's busy as fuck. I'm gonna send you the link to the shit just so you can see it. It's ridiculous. It's a little busy, but yeah, man. Y'all check it out. I don't know how long it's there till. I think it's there for a little while. You know, the museum they be rocking for a little bit, but it's definitely worth. It made me think, yo, is this the real shit? I would assume so. I mean, this is the, you know, Museum of Natural History, and they're well protected and all of that. I'm sure they're insured.
Yeah, and the thing about hip hop and jewelry and streets and jewelry, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, it wasn't meant for, you know, museum display. You know what I'm saying? Like when you say the solders, like niggas was getting their shit from the flea market, from, you know what I'm saying? Right. Wherever the gold spot was around your way.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? It's like the first time I seen, and I don't even want to say this shit, like, because I don't even want to seem like I'm tripping. But first time I saw Slick Rick up close with his shit.
Oh,
And you could be like, okay, you know what I'm saying?
yeah. It's the reality of the situation. A lot of this is, man.
Around the way. Stage. You know what I'm saying? Around the way, baby.
Come on, man. What you talking about?
But when
it
hit that stage, nigga, that shit is so big. That shit so, you know what I'm saying? It's a statement. You know what I'm saying?
And
even like, damn, it's an Instagram account that be showing, like, all the jewelry, like, Brazil niggas, and like these niggas got, you know what I'm saying, chains that's like 4-5 kilos, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, God. But now it's video, you know what I'm saying? Now you can hear it, you know what I'm saying? When you hear it clickety clacking and shit, you're like, oh. You know what I'm saying? It takes away from what it actually is when you see it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
When you see it, it's like, ooh wee. You know what I'm saying? And it's still ooh wee, and it probably costs a ooh wee ticket. But when you hear all that hollowness and then all that clickety clack, and you be like, ooh, you could get that on the stage, baby.
Yeah, that's to be seen from afar. Right. Yeah, man. It's not for the microscope. Yeah,
these new artists is different, though. Now, this new shit with these Cubans be a little different. You know what I'm saying? Some of them, you know.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there's some good work out there, like I said. Yeah. But there's some that's just like when you look at it, you're like, all right. But again, it wasn't meant to all that scrutiny.
Right. It's not meant for that. It's meant for you know what I'm saying, to show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, some of this shit now is just for the show out. That shit was like, I showed up, here it is, boom, I'm blinged out, you know what I'm saying? You already know. And that many niggas ain't finna get up on me, and I'm out.
Right. It's metal. It's just all a bunch of metal, like, you know, that's why after the show, they take that shit off, put it in their book bag, you hear all that clankety clank. Like, that's the other thing about jewelry, if I'll be honest, too, it's just like, I never really bought in too much of beyond like I like a good Cuban. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like good, you know what I mean? Something like that. Some nice, some gold, some yellow gold. I fuck with that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else, you gotta trust. You go to the Diamond District and you know, look, or even go to Canal Street and you looking at the shit up close and they telling you why it's expensive and what the work is and these are the type of diamonds or this is the type of, these are the carat, you know, this is the type of gold we use and then this, that, this is solid and this, and you just hear all of that and you look at it and it don't always connect and you kind of like, so I guess I got to take this motherfucker's word and I hope that I'm not getting got, you know, like I think you got to be in that, you got to be in it for a while to kind of find your way. And that goes further than just jewelry, like even watches and things of that nature. Like, you gotta know, the more you know, the better you are, because even if it is under the guise of authorized retailer or trusted dealer, it could still go left, you know? And... you know, it is what it is, but
yeah, you got some of these like shit. Lil Baby got on the watch game. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I saw that.
This is shit. This ain't. It's hard to tell, no matter what Nas say, nigga. That shit hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, it's true. Cause no matter what Nas say, yeah.
The technology get better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so you know, But really, niggas buy the gold for the effect that it's going to have. And some niggas just be okay with, I paid this for this effect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's that. You know what I mean? If that shit could be 10 carat hollow as fuck, but it had the same effect. You know? And then some people got better taste at that shit than others, where, you know, they want their work to look a certain way. And it looks different. They don't want to see no solder points. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know? And so they go to the people that know how to do that.
And you see the evolution. You see that if an artist has been in it long enough, because there's a photo of like, you know, Hov with the anchor from the Hawaiian Sophie days. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was ill for back then.
The anchor chain was a thing. You know what I mean? It wasn't the most popular piece, but that shit was one of the pieces that niggas, you know what I'm saying? They had a lot of detail. Of course, the Jesus piece in the houses where they, you know, look like little mausoleums and shit. Them shits was the ones. And the ones who really had the real thick ones and solid ones, you be like, ooh-wee. That's a lot different than the one. You know what I'm saying? That ain't the same kind as I just saw in the other dude.
Nah. It's different. Lil Baby had some shit in there, too.
That nigga stayed jewelry shopping.
Yeah, he gave
half his fortune to Icebox.
Right. I hope they got a deal behind the scenes. I would hope so.
I mean, they probably do. I mean, he probably takes some shit back, turn it in, get some new shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, even like on some brand equity, because I feel like, you know what I mean? Like I feel like he played a large part in like building that brand. You know what I mean? Like more than most. So, but
I didn't ever think about it like that, but you might be right.
Right, yeah, that's kind of who I associate with that when I think about it, you know. But, man, it was cool. So, now I went home, I watched the Knicks lose.
Poor Knicks.
Yeah, Vicky Toback is the person who wrote the book, FYI. Mm-hmm. I watched the Knicks lose. It was, you know, bittersweet. Like I said a few weeks ago, it's always a good energy when the Knicks are competitive. And this was fairly deep into the playoffs that they went, game 7, you know. They got blown out on the floor. And funny enough, not a blowout, but the Nuggets got beat on their floor too. So there's been some debate about does home court advantage – does that still exist anymore? You know, like, is it what it once was? You know, how much of a role does it play? And it was so odd, not odd, but it was interesting to see the Garden, game 7, so quiet in there. Like so quiet in there, because you know you watch these little side talk videos with all of this obnoxious exuberance. You know what I'm saying? Like it's over the top caricatures.
That's when that shit come back to bite, nigga.
Yes, you know what I'm saying?
That just sounded like losing.
Yeah, it just sounds like a whole lot. You know what about when Kat is saying a whole lot of shit right before they get knocked out and slapped. You know, like, and the niggas know me. Niggas know where I'm from. Nigga, I don't, you know, all of that. Yeah. Now you snoring. Now you snoring or world star. Yeah, it was one of those. Mm-hmm. But, you know, salute to the team, man. You know, Brunson got busy and, you know what I'm saying, Obi and, I mean, don't let me get all into it, man. You know, Jalen Brunson, DiFincenzo, OG, Ananobi, you know what I'm saying, Josh Hart, you know what I mean? All these cats. Yeah, I'm definitely reading it. But this is the thing that I think, and again, like, I am not, somebody pointed it out, my tone changed when I clarify. Look, I'm not a sports fan. And the reason I like to clarify is because I got friends of mine that are sports fans.
Right.
Fans, like die hard sports fans. And they take that shit serious. You know what I'm saying? So I don't be fucking with that shit. You know, like, I don't wade in. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta be like, hey. Because if you're not careful, you'll get pulled into a conversation that you're not equipped for.
Right.
So I look at it with a different lens. But my thing, and maybe it's because with congestion tolls coming up and just living in New York City, you know what I'm saying? And just trying to fucking endure. And had this moment where I was thinking about, you know, New York, the New York Knicks, you know, they play in Madison Square Garden, so do the Rangers, but they play in Manhattan, 34th Street. The shit is rarely ever not sold out. Prices of the tickets are amazing. But the sensibility, it's been for a long time, because I even had a conversation with my barber about this, another diehard fan. But, like, New York Knicks, it's always like a scrappy sensibility, a scrappy, somewhat underdog team. You know what I mean? Like, you know, hard nose, blue collar, and there's never really no superstar on the Knicks. Like, it's a homegirl, like Jalen Brunson. Like, my homie was arguing me down. He's a star. I was like, he ain't no superstar. He's a star. He's a star. He's a New York. He's a homegrown star. We love him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I said, when's the last time we had a player that people outside of New York will buy in their jersey?
You know what I'm saying?
But this is my caveat. That wasn't a retro. And maybe back then, Ewing was probably
niggas had Ewing shoes, Ewing jerseys and shit in Miami.
Okay. All right, yeah. Fair enough. So Ewing might have been the last one. I mean, we've had big names. I mean, not big name, but like Carmelo. You know what I'm saying? Starks is somebody we love here in New York. You know what I mean? He showed heart, you know, but I don't know if, you know, a motherfucker in Houston going to buy a Starks jersey. You know?
No.
Like, a motherfucker anywhere buy a LeBron jersey. A motherfucker anywhere buy a KD jersey. A motherfucker anywhere buy an Iverson jersey.
But y'all ain't been good in the new era where, you know what I'm saying, all that shit just kind of just crossed over into being fans of certain people on certain teams, you know? So, like, you know, people are LeBron fans. Like, last time New York Knicks was good, that's when niggas just had teams. Like, that's my team.
Yeah, but you could argue that for some of these other teams. I mean, and I'm trying to think, like, I don't know if anybody's walking around with a Zion jersey or maybe people.
They would have.
Like a Morant jersey or whatever.
Because they,
like,
seen him in high school. They tracked him all that. Like, y'all ain't from. I mean, the Knicks wasn't good in that era when niggas was tracking niggas on the internet, watching their high school mixtapes, watching them come through. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. Okay. All right. That's a good point. But I was looking at it like, as much as this shit, as much as how expensive them tickets are, as much of what New York means in the world, like, L.A. don't make no qualms about that shit being Showtime. Even when they wasn't even good, even when they was fucked up, it was like, we're going to sell entertainment. Like, right. We're going to embrace the Hollywood of it all.
Right.
New York is expensive as fuck. Like, there's a lot of... See, the beauty of... The thing about New York is people that are thriving and a lot of motherfuckers that's struggling. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's awesome. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. That's a nigga from Hoboken told you that shit. But anyway, so... But we be playing this fucking underdog thing and this, you know what I mean, blue collar shit, and it just don't all the way line up sometimes.
You want Showtime? You want Showtime?
Yeah, I want to look. Yes, yes. Niggas, niggas is charging to go to 61st Street now. Hell yeah, I want to see somebody that is like leading in the first break on ESPN. I want somebody with their own, own sneaker. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga. You know what I'm
y'all
saying?
Was mad. Y'all was mad when they was trying to put their bid in to draft LeBron from Cleveland.
Man, because everybody uses New York as like a little, like a negotiation tool.
Nah, he wasn't, for sure. he wasn't thinking about it. That New York started. Actually, the New York newspapers is what really kicked off LeBron's decision shit. Before, it was a year before he went into free agency. New York Post and all that shit went super hard on the Knicks should get LeBron. And that's where right. all of that free agent talk became a thing. It was like nobody, he hadn't said shit. But the newspaper in New York said the Knicks should get LeBron. And mm-hmm. that started that whole conversation. And when he didn't pick the Knicks, it was fuck LeBron.
yeah, for sure. For sure. Motherfuckers are sensitive. I get it. And it's motherfuckers like your emotions get high and you just like, hell, because like that's the thing. On a certain level, it makes so much sense. Everybody like, nigga, LeBron need to be playing at the Garden. This is the mecca of basketball and all that. That's what we say. That's what we believe. And like, let me not get it fucked up. There are amazing Knicks jersey. You get a nice Bernard King jersey, nigga, you can walk through the whole New York City with that bitch. But I'm saying, if you go to Houston, niggas is like, who that? You know what I'm saying? No disrespect is what I'm saying. But... I think sometimes it's a little bit of a gaslight, maybe. I don't know. You selling us this whole...
It's definitely a gaslight, nigga.
You selling us this shit that's mad expensive. It's like the jewelry. Wait, hold on, nigga. Wait a minute, nigga. Let me look at these
things. The rent expensive on 34th yes. Street, man.
Come on, man. Everybody else, all of these, okay. So many of these arenas are not even in the city. They outside the city because the shit is expensive. Or the fucking stadium is named after whatever the sponsor is. Smoothie King, Crypto, whatever the fuck. New York, still Madison Square Garden. That shit's right there on fucking 34th Street, nigga. Right there. And the shit is expensive as fuck. But we don't got no super big name. Like, come on, Pop. You know what I mean? And look, man. Again, because I know niggas get sensitive about the Knicks too. And it's just, and the shit, you know, we just left. We just lost. But, you know, so no disrespect. And again, like, I'm a casual fan and I'm looking at it from a different lens. I'm looking at it from more of a, like a branding and like, yo, man, what's going on? What we paying for? You know, some people just paying for the energy. Some people just paying to be in the building. And if you're in that building, it's fucking... amazing. So I understand why motherfuckers don't need to do that shit, but it could be a whole nother thing. Because if New York, the Knicks, ever, if the Knicks get a trip, like sometime soon, you know what I'm saying? They've never won in my entire lifetime. Man, you know what I'm saying?
They only got two.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I had to say that.
I had to go do the research to try to figure out why we having this conversation. And
why we having this guy like
no,
that?
No, I'm saying the reason why the shit ain't popping Showtime in New York is what I'm saying.
Right, and
I mean, it's tough. You got to be scrappy if you ain't won shit. I mean, they strongest run, nigga, was in the 90s, nigga. Late 80s, 90s. They got some, you know what I'm saying? Shit, look like, you know, maybe with one finals appearance, maybe.
Yeah, I think that was against the was that Houston Rockets or something like that with the finger.
The Rockets, yeah, the Rockets. That's that's 94, nigga.
Yeah, man. I remember that. Go New York, go New York, go. I think that's when that first started.
The 2000s was rough, nigga. Yeah. I probably made the playoffs about four times since then.
Something like that. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's your ownership. You know, you tried to kick Charles Oakley
That's
out of the building.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to say that because that man is very vindictive. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they got the facial awareness. So, like, if that nigga see your face, come upon the shit, niggas is coming to get you. You will be removed, nigga. That nigga's petty. Absolutely. That nigga is petty. Because I ain't going to lie.
I suggested that.
I took all of that shit, but if them niggas gave me some courtside shits, I'm gonna show up, nigga. It's a good look to be on that jumbotron. You know what I'm saying? Waving at the people, hey, you know. But still, oh man. But salute. I say all that, and I look, man. Congratulations to the New York Knicks. This was a great season, great run. You know, the whole team, Coach Thibodeau, all of that. You know, they did their thing. It was exciting, as it always is when they're competitive. It feels good in the city. It feels good.
Right. I'm glad the Knicks could bring some joy to the city. Yeah, y'all needed the distraction. You needed it a little longer, but yeah, shit, take what you get.
take a little bit of this. This is enough. Take it.
Because y'all been strong the last couple of years. You know what I'm saying? Few, niggas, them fans been really fanning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see niggas that you knew that done came up a little bit, got a little more weight in their life. They going to the games every week. You know what I'm saying? They been showing out. Niggas been making clothes and shit and special capsules for the Knicks. So, you know,
it's an industry. It's an industry. That's the, you know, it's definitely, there's a market there. For sure. A hell of a market there. So that's why I'm saying, like, yo, you go top 10 if you wanted to. Speaking of, I don't say top tier, but like on the ascent, it is great to see, even though the game was for him was Anthony Edwards, man. Anthony Edwards and Kyrie about to be in this next round. That should be interesting. Yeah.
That's what like I told you, that's my algorithm game.
Yeah.
You know, since you talked about Kyrie 1 week, all I get on my feed is Ant Edwards and Kyrie in slow motion.
Yeah.
They are solidifying this nigga's legacy in slow mo for your ass.
Right. They both got sneakers that they trying to roll out. You know what I mean? Like, it's very much about the that sneaker push, you know, and they doing it well for you know, to sell some shit. But yeah, right, man.
But
it's good. Yeah.
Even Ant not doing as well, that energy. His energy.
Yeah.
His energy is the showtime. You know what I'm saying? He in Minnesota, man. He's bringing the showtime.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Shit. After they won, he waved off the fans. Mm-hmm. And then they showed a clip of Joker stepping to him like, why? And he's like, why? Like, why what? And then he's like, why you do that to the fans? Why you shrug off the fans? And then he just pointed to the skull. Like, nigga.
Come on, man. What you talking about?
With that incredulous nigga look. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? What the fuck you mean?
Got you up out of here on your floor. Game
Go
7.
Home. Yeah. Go home.
Take it easy. Take it easy, champs. It's over for y'all. Yeah, man. Yeah, that shit is. You want to see that? You want to see that, man? Yeah, that's good. I'm curious to see that. I think that's probably the series I'm more. I mean, Pacers and Celtics is kind of whatever. Yeah. To be totally honest,
that's the backyard barn series.
yeah. That's scrappy. Well, it's somewhat scrappy. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It is what it is.
That sounds just like a whole lot of Larry Bird right there, boy.
Yeah,
I'm from that era where you just had to hate the Celtics.
Right. Yeah, for sure. But you know what's so funny? In retrospect, man, I look at clips of Larry Bird. I mean, Larry Bird was always respected for his jumper. I mean, you know what I mean? He was nice. He was nice. He was nice. He was. You had to give it to him. It's like reluctantly, like, yeah. I mean, motherfucker nice.
But you talking about the era where the only black people you seen on TV was goddamn basketball, football.
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? That's true. Yeah.
So it's like, it's almost rooted in the shit. Like, yeah, you going to cheer for Dr. J and motherfucking Magic Johnson. Then you Isaiah. They pan to the motherfucking garden with the parquet floor and the all white audience, and you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They just look mad, like a bunch of KKK members. Just mad. Yeah, like you just like automatic. You just couldn't root for him.
But the nigga was French nice. Lick. Yeah, no, he was so nice.
You just be mad, like, yeah, damn, this nigga don't miss. Y'all need to stick him.
And then, but what was so crazy, like I said, I'm watching these clips because now, you know, all this media and all these things are being unearthed and, you got players, you know, telling stories and recounting things. Before, it used to be like you just had to guess what was going on. But Larry was talking cash shit. Mm-hmm. And he was saying some wild shit. And that just make me make me respect it even more. He was talking crazy shit. Right.
That's why, man. As much as we hated the nigga, that's why him and Magic Johnson's was kind of cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Like, man, Magic, you can't be shaking that nigga hand. What's wrong with you?
Right. Right. Yeah. But gotta respect the game.
The nigga was good, man, and that's what made it so maddening that he was so good. Like you know what I'm saying? You get double teamed. That nigga slide over, throw the little behind the back pass, looking like 1963. And then get that shit back. Like, oh, man. He was not up to date with the modern technology. He wasn't doing all that shit Jordan was doing, flying through the air, looking like ballet. Mm-hmm. That nigga was doing them fundamentals.
Is he? I mean, this probably sounds obvious, but I'm just thinking about it. Is he the greatest white basketball player of all time?
I can't tell you because I ain't tracked it. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't tracking either, but I mean, maybe not even greatest, but like the most popular, like, cause I feel like that's a statement, obviously up in Boston and all of that. But I do think, I'm just trying to think, like,
I mean, he could possibly be, like I said, I ain't tracked it, but he is definitely the Eminem to the NBA.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. Yes. Cause I can only think about it like a handful, and most of them are coming in the last 10 years, but I could only think of a handful. I mean, it's Stockton, you know what I mean? But he wasn't as exciting. You know, he was more, he's a white guy. You know
Jerry
what I mean?
West. I'm not sure how good Jerry West played.
I mean, he's the logo. I never tracked it. Right, I never tracked it. I mean, he's the logo and whatever. And and then he had a quick moment with Jason Williams. You know what I'm saying? But, he wasn't. He was just slick. Handle was crazy. I mean, now you got the overseas. You got the Lukas and the Jokic.
I just asked AI.
Oh, what AI said? Allen or AI. You talking about artificial?
No, AI, artificial intelligence. Okay, I asked AI who was the best white NBA player. Uh-huh. And it should say, if you're asking about the best white NBA player of all times, several players are often mentioned in this conversation due to their incredible skills. Here are a few of the names featured frequently discussed. Number one, Larry Bird.
There you go.
Number two, Dirk Nowitzki. Number three, John Stockton. Number four, Steve Nash. Number five, Paul Gasol.
And who's five?
Paul Gasol.
Okay. Interesting.
That's what AI said. You know, AI is about 2 years behind, but you know. I just needed a reference.
Yeah, I just did. Yeah, Larry the guy. Yeah, because he was a competitor and with one of the great moments. He was competing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's crazy. What's up?
No, and I just said, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Anyway. I started watching. I just watched one episode so far. Mm-hmm. Told you I checked out them season two. Mm-hmm. From the first episode, I think I'm a rock with it. I forgot. I think I'm a rock with it. I mean, I told y'all the first season pissed me off, mm-hmm. you know, because it's a lot of racial trauma in the first season. Huh?
Nah, go ahead.
Oh, it's a lot of racial trauma in that first season, but this one, we'll see where it goes. But the director, Little Marvin, I think he's the director. First of all, I like that name, you know what I mean, for a director, Little Marvin. But I like how it's shot, you know what I'm saying? Like how it's shot, like how it has a nice little, yeah, just how it's shot. The cinematography on it is kind of cool, right. And the pacing and everything. And then they have good actors. So, yeah, I'm excited about this one.
Right. You know so I'm going to start it up. Shit.
Yeah, check it out. So, we might have to discuss that.
Yeah, see what they talking about, little trauma sensibilities and shit.
Yeah, man, yeah. Huh. You got anything else you want to talk about? Or is it time
that shit sounded like a hard end. Period. I'm good.
Oh shit!
Like, ah, look, good old Grandmaster Flash.
Right. I ain't even mean for it to sound like that, man. That's life. Yeah, man. I think that is gonna be it. yeah, I think that's gonna be it. I wanna let the people know again. People of Grantville, Pennsylvania and surrounding areas, come out and see me at the Laughing Stock Comedy Club June 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Poughkeepsie, New York, and surrounding areas. Come on out to Laugh It Up Comedy Club June 29th. I will be there. And then the people in the Seattle surrounding areas, I'll be at the Capitol Comedy / Bar August 30th. And 31st, we got 3 shows out there. Go get tickets at DamianLemon.com. We may have some more things popping up, but right now, go grab some tickets. I want to sell these motherfuckers out. We're going to have a good-ass time.
Word up,
man. Anything you want to leave the people with?
Man, shit. Happy to be here. Happy to be in this conversation with y'all. Appreciate everybody that reaches out. And, you know what I'm saying, brings up topics of shit that I don't remember I said and reminds me of some shit that I said. Because as soon as we hang up, I'd be like, man, shit, I don't remember. But I enjoy seeing it back, you know what I'm saying? I enjoy getting the energy back. And thank you all.
There it is. That's beautiful. There it go. And until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.